Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
The second thing to be a mighty man of God, you need to be able to stand your ground. You need to be able to stand on the truth of God's word, not stray from it. And if it's your conviction, if you believe that God has convicted your heart of something, friends, you ought to be able to stand your ground and not waver. In all three accounts, I noticed that these men were fighting alone. Did you notice that? Everybody else had left, but these men stood their ground. Verse 9 said, and after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle. And listen to what he says, and the men of Israel were gone away. You see that? All the other men ran, but these men stood. It says in verse 10, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave into the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. And then look what happened. And the people returned after him only to spoil. So he did all the work and they came in and reaped all the benefits. But yet he stood his ground. Verse 11, and after him was Shema, the son of Agi, the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. And what happens? And the people fled from the Philistines. But what happened in verse 12? But he, Shema, stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. You see, these men were mighty because they stood in the face of battle regardless of what everybody else did around them. What can we say about you today? What would people say about you? If it came down to the brass tacks, if they come up and people were being persecuted for the name of Jesus, where would you be when the persecution started? Where would you be when they came to you? When they made a lineup, would you be found guilty of serving the Lord? Or would you be one of these that fled? One of these that fled from the Philistines? One of these that were gone away when the Philistines showed up? Or are you going to be one of these that go away when the persecution comes? Or will you be one of these that the Bible calls a mighty man? Or a mighty woman? A mighty worker for the Lord. They stood their ground. Although everybody else ran and abandoned them, these men kept on fighting. They knew that if the Philistines won, it would mean an end to everything that they had there. It would mean an end to God's army. It'd mean they'd been defeated and the rightful king would be overthrown. David was the one they were trying to protect instead of the one that was trying to take his place. Listen, in the Christian life, you'll often find yourself standing alone. And that's just the truth. I've known people that I thought would never leave my side. People that I thought were faithful. People that I thought would stand through thick and thin no matter what. You know, I remember before I became pastor at this church, I can name two men close to me that said, Brother Byron, if you become pastor down at Highland, I will attend church. I'll be there every Sunday and I will help you out and everything. Neither one of those men have even came since I've been pastor here. And both of them told me that point blank to my face for 8 years. Neither one's even visited here a single time. I had another man just a few years ago tell me, Brother Byron, he said, I'm going to start going with you, soul winning. I'm going to go with you on visitation. I'm going to help out in everything I can so I can take a burden off you. He don't even go here anymore. Never did help me one time. Every time that I needed help, he had something else to do. And so listen, there'll be in your Christian life when you're trying to do something for the Lord and stand for the Lord, stand your ground, you can't just count on everybody to help you out because everybody don't have the same thoughts that you have. I can remember back when I was in elementary school and I had a friend and he didn't have a whole lot of friends. His name was Mackie and he was kind of quiet, but me and Mackie were buddies. And one time we were out on the playground and I don't know, I was off somewhere doing something. And I saw a big scuffle going on. I mean, it was on the playground. It was dust flying up and people everywhere. Boys were screaming and yelling and, you know, everything. And I saw that and I ran over there to see what was going on. And there was a bully in our class. And he had my friend Mackie down on the ground and he was beating on him. Well, I wasn't going to have that. I jumped up and I grabbed that guy and I yanked him off Mackie. And, And I'll tell you what I did. I started just like my daddy taught me. I started from the ground with my right fist, and I came up and I hit that guy square in the face, and he hit the ground. I'm talking his feet flew off the ground. I hit him that hard. Now you people say he's inciting violence. Listen, that's the way I was brought up. Somebody does something to you, or somebody that's your friend, I mean, you knock them in the dirt. That's what we did. And that's how we straightened things out. We didn't, you know, go and see some counselor or something like that. We just let them have it. And I want you to know that bully never picked on Mackie again. In fact, he quit picking on anybody again, because then I believe he thought I was the bully. But anyway, I'm, you know, you have to stand your ground. If it's important to you, if it's the truth, listen, you stand your ground. We are not in a playground fight, but I want you to know we are in a battle today. We're in a spiritual battle, and it's constant. Ephesians 6 and 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Listen, we've got much more than just a bully to worry about. We've got the biggest bully in the world after us, and that's the devil. Don't ever discount Satan. He hates you. He hates you with all of his might. And he is one big, tough bully. And he's out in full force to get you. And he has minions of devils and demons there along to help him out. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Friends, it's very easy to run and hide in the middle of controversy. And I know people that do that. I mean, you think, well, they're going to help you out. You know, they're going to stand with you. And then all of a sudden you turn around, where's everybody at? Yeah. And it's only you alone. It may come down to that. It may be you and you alone one day when you're standing for the Lord. You know, sometimes I feel like that's the way churches like ours have become. You know, just, you know, I don't want to have the Elijah complex thinking, you know, we're the only one that loves the Lord. But sometimes you get to feeling that way. When you see everything that's going on around you, you see some of the apostasy going on in some of the places that are called churches today, and you wonder, what in the world? Are we the last ones that's going to stand? Listen, friends, we got to stand. You know, the devil will shoot those darts at you, those fiery darts of the devil. And boy, he wants to let you have it. And it's easier to run and hide from them than it is to stand and shield from them. But the Bible tells us over in Ephesians 6 and 11, put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There's that word stand. What did these men do? What did they do in the face of adversity? They stood their ground. As a mighty man or a mighty woman of God, as a Christian, we need to stand our ground for the Lord. And listen, I like I said, I know this message is geared toward more men because it's Father's Day, but this is for all of us. We need to stand. The third thing here that I see, to be a mighty man of God, you need to decrease and let God increase. I noticed that even after these three men fought for their king, listen, they were still servants of the king. Although they were mighty men, while Shammah may have slew 800, and while the spearsmen and the swordsmen may have slew their many, they still came and were servants to their king. All David did was mention that he'd like to have a drink. What did they do? They laid their sword down and their spear down, and they ran and they went and got water. You see that? They were servants all the way back to the well in Bethlehem just because David said those words. I didn't notice any grandstanding. Did you see that? I didn't see where any of them said, "Oh, hold on a minute." Adin didn't say, "I'll do it." You know, Hama didn't come up and say, "No, let me," or Shema, I mean. And, you know, they didn't come out and do that and try to be known and didn't take a selfie going to get water for David, you know. Today, that's what they would do. They'd be on Twitter tweeting it. "Oh, fixing to go. Pray for me. I'm fixing to go and find David some water and face adversity." They didn't do that. There was no grandstanding, no Twitter feed. Nobody posted on Facebook. They didn't call the local news station to come out and watch all their mighty works and tell them about what they're going to do. They quickly made their way over to Bethlehem, which was about 12 miles away, by the way. They rushed through the Philistine army and went to the well and got David water. Where was everybody else? They were standing their ground. Where was everybody else? You know, I've noticed a trend on social media. I've mentioned it before, but any time that anybody does anything for the Lord these days, they think they have to have a selfie of themselves doing it. I'm all about giving God glory for things. But I'm beginning to wonder, If you lead somebody to Christ and nobody's there to take your selfie, does it really count? Because you would think by some of these things I'm seeing today that it wouldn't. Well, are you sure? Because I didn't see you post about it. Yeah. Listen, you don't have to post everything that you do for the Lord on social media. Everybody don't have to know it. Listen, God still gets the glory for it. It doesn't mean that you got to go and spout to the world everything that you ever done. I think that negates a lot of the things that people do, by the way, when they claim they're doing it for the Lord, when they're really doing it to be seen and get likes for it. And so I know that's going to make a lot of people mad, but so be it. Who's being glorified these days, man or God? Are we glorifying the Lord Jesus? Are we trying to glorify ourselves? Last I checked, Jesus don't have a Facebook page. I invited a singing group out of the church a few years ago. It's been quite a while now. And the Sunday that they came, they pulled into the parking lot with their equipment. Well, it was unusual for me, but I was dressed in overalls and a T-shirt and boots on Sunday. It was in between services. And I seen them come over here, and I was wanting to, you know, come over and open the church and everything for them. So I was over here, and I was messing around. And one of them got out of their vehicle, and they come up to me and said, "Excuse me." Said, "We're the singing group. We're supposed to be here, you know, tonight and sing." I said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "Yeah, the door's open. You go ahead and go on in. It's fine." And that was all they ever said to me. And so I went back home, you know, and it was getting church time. I changed back, put on my suit and everything, got my hair all combed up. Come walking in here, and they were in here setting up and everything, and they saw me, and they come around, "Oh, are you the pastor?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And them come and said, "Wasn't you the guy out there, and you know, working on in the parking lot?" And I said, "Yeah, that was me." And the difference of how they treated me between knowing that I was the pastor and thinking I was a groundskeeper was greatly different. And I lost so much respect for that group that night. And I said that night, I told Mary, I said, "Those guys are never coming back to this church, I'll tell you that." But listen, people, they try to see themselves in an exalted position. They want to be seen and lifted up. Listen, we need to decrease, and we need to let God increase. It's not about us. God's not looking for flesh-hungry men and women today. That's not what he's looking for. One of the requirements that Jesus, you remember, gave the rich young ruler was that he was to sell everything he had, pick up his cross, and follow him. And what did the Bible say? He went away sorrowful, for he had many possessions. He wasn't willing to give up his place in life. He wasn't willing to give up his position, his stature, everybody looking up to him and having his great wealth to follow the Lord. It doesn't require having all those great things to follow the Lord. He just simply wants us and us alone. We take up our cross and follow him. Well, the Lord is looking for men that will deny themselves and follow him. You may not ever be known outside of this church. Nobody might ever know your name. I certainly am not looking for people to know my name. I could care less about that. And you may not be known across the world or even in the same community. They may not even know who you are. People today that are hungry to have their name dropped in places. And so they relish on that. And so the Lord is looking for men that just wants to decrease. They want to be used by God. He's not looking for men that want to be exalted themselves and be seen for what they're doing. He's just looking for some faithful men. What if Adin, Eleazar, Shema refused to be used? What if they said, "Well, we will fight if we get high positions for the king"? You know, they could have pulled that card. That's what a lot of people today, "What's in it for me?" "Oh, we'll go and get you a drink of water, David. What's in it for us? Am I going to sit on your right hand and Shema sit on your left? Huh? What about that?" And so that's what people do today. They want some kind of uplifted position. They didn't do that. From all indications, the only thing that they earned from their willingness to fight was and serve was respect from King David. They certainly got his respect and a mention in the Holy Word of God.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Babley Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.